said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
This man must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius, because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And, you know, we have a lot of interesting stories to talk about today. Number one, it's Trump's day today. Boy, I'll tell you what. He got that appeal brought down from, you know, the bond that he had to come up with, $454 million. Which was almost impossible to do. And he got it down to $175 million. Great. And he's going to pay cash. So all these people, broke Don is what the Biden administration tried to come up with. Broke Don, right? They were trying to make jokes that Trump can't pay his bond. You know, meanwhile, there is nothing but, this is nothing but election interference. It's a banana republic run out of Washington, and they go after Trump for crimes that he didn't commit. I mean, at the same time, you got someone like Peter Navarro making a statement and making a speech and telling, helping the press do their job. Look into this, look into that, before I go to prison right now. For a misdemeanor. I'll be the only prisoner in this prison in there that's not a felon. It's just a misdemeanor. Because he exercised his executive privilege. Peter Navarro exercised his executive privilege when he rebuffed the Democrats in the House, who probably shouldn't have even had the House to begin with, but due to election fraud, and there's more and more election fraud that's being revealed. Like in Fulton County, where President Trump is basically being gone after by Fannie Willis. Bang, bang, Fannie. And Fannie's going after because he merely asked about the integrity of this election. Well, they're finding all kinds of evidence of duplicate ballots in different batches with different numbers, but yet the same image, the same exact image, just run through different machines, tabulators, over and over and over again to support Warnock and to support Joe Biden. So there's all that going on. You got an interesting dynamic with respect to Ronald McDaniel throwing the J6ers under the bus, revealing that the RNC was nothing but a shill for the Democrats. And and then you have, you know, the J6 and Jack Smith, an insurrection, and all these different things. And it's starting to become revealed. So like Trump, they try to come up and they're trying to make this joke stick. Trump can't pay his bills. Trump's not as rich as he said he was. They've been trying to say that since 2015. Trump's broke. Trump's not a success. Well, it turns out that now Truth Social is going to go public and he's going to probably make about $3.5 billion today. And if it's anything like Reddit, who went public last week, it's going to do quite well. Now, a lot of pundits on MSNBC and CNN try to poo-poo Truth Social as not legit. And we're going to play some of those audio clips and we're going to play others. But I'm telling you, the timing couldn't have been more perfect. Yeah, it's true that donations going into the PAC are going to pay for Trump's legal bills. But frankly, I think every time Trump goes to court, it's almost as good as a campaign rally. It's a campaign speech. Because we know that Biden's probably not going to engage in any debates. He's not going to campaign. They tried to get tough against Trump, and it blew up in their face because the people in Washington, D.C. are so stupid. They couldn't run a business to save their life. You know, these advisors to the president, these people, these little whippersnappers in D.C. with their Georgetown degrees, Wilson Center experiences, bunch of spooks who basically want to live off the taxpayer dollars. And it's an artificial economy in D.C. It's 97-98% liberal. And that's where they want to hear all these trials, including the one in Florida that should be held in Florida. But they want to hold that one in D.C. too. But the Supreme Court's going to weigh in on, I think in April, they're going to weigh in on the presidential immunity, executive immunity. Much like they're going to weigh in on Peter Navarro. Peter Navarro is going to already do his jail time by the time they win on appeal. So I would imagine he should sue. Meanwhile, you got this open border crisis. You got inflation out the yin yang. It's more akin to 19% inflation, by the way. We have numbers to report that and support that. And then there's the other big story, Puff Daddy, right? Big P. Diddy. Oh, my God. What we've been talking about for the longest time, what goes on in Hollywood and in Miami with P. Diddy and Justin Bieber and all these other people. You know, this guy named Cat Williams was on Shannon Sharpe's show over a year ago, and he was talking about Puff Daddy being in all kinds of trouble. Sounded reminiscent of Donald Trump talking about the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation and what they were doing in Haiti and child trafficking. It's real. It's absolutely real. We're going to go ahead and start off with the P. Diddy because it's so interesting. You know, they raided both his houses in Miami and in Los Angeles, and he took a beeline flight straight out to an island, in the Virgin Island. He's probably where they can't do extradition. So that's kind of interesting in and of itself right there. And, you know, oh, and by the way, just before we forget to talk about this, if they break and go to a press conference, we might break live and go to that press conference with regard to the Baltimore bridge collapse, the Francis Scott Key bridge. He was the one who wrote the Star Spangled Banner. I've been to that. There's a Francis Scott Key museum of some sort in Baltimore. But that seems like a really odd scenario. What happened there with the big cargo ship that knocked hit the bridge and the bridge collapsed? My goodness, what a catastrophe. So that could have an economic impact on supply chain. We don't know yet. But certainly there was negligence there. You know, when they run in those harbors, they were saying that these ships don't even, they're not guided by a captain. They're guided by harbor personnel to guide these ships in and out of the harbor. All right. We're going to go ahead and play this clip. This is from Cat Williams. He predicted the raid on Diddy back in January. Are more raids coming? I'm surprised that these raids are even happening under the Biden regime, because child trafficking is their thing. So let's take a listen. I'm hoping that there's no cursing in this. I'm pretty sure there isn't.
It's God's side and the other side. And we don't care nothing about the other side. Period. Period. All of these big dick is all catching hell in 2024. It's up for all of them. It don't matter if you Diddy or whoever you is. T.G. Jakes, any of them. All lies will be exposed. That's all. And anyone who takes that the wrong way, know why they take it the wrong way. The truth is the light.
I need to have no more of these.
Amen, amen.
Gee. I kind of get on here.
Right.
After that, I don't really kind of know where to go. Let me, one more time.
Right.
We good now?
Because the people want to know, why would he get blackballed?
Yeah.
Because in 30 years, I've done nothing but collect information, knowledge, and your secrets. So if you and a man was in a corner doing something you wasn't supposed to be doing,
you would tell it.
No, somebody come to tell me.
Okay.
I gather that. I value that. I'll pay for that. Come, tell me. I know so many things I shouldn't know, and they all know it.
That's a shot across the bow right there. Because, you know, I imagine he's probably afraid for his life. But here's another piece of that interview. Let's see.
Now, I've had to turn down $50 million four times. Four times. Just to protect my integrity and that virgin hole I was telling you about. Right. Because P. Diddy be wanting a body. And you got to tell him no. You got to tell him no. I did. I did. See, I got the receipts for everything I'm telling you. That's why I can say them so freely.
Can I need another? You here? Get your number.
Thank you.
So yeah, it's an interview that they conducted a while ago. It's a strange story, and here's Puff Daddy with some young girl.
Diddy adopted a white child. I want you to tell them the story about how I adopted you. But you still have beautiful parents. But you're my child also. Please tell the story.
So, I was on the streets, and then Papa Coombs decided that he would like to be a caring man. So then he saw me and decided to pick me up and said to come inside and play with his kids.
I mean, this is crazy stuff. This is right out there in the open. So just in, Donald Trump net worth jumps to $6.5 billion. Broke Don? I don't think so. Making today Trump's single greatest day ever for his wealth. At this very moment, Trump's $175 million bond in New York fraud case makes up just 2.7% of his net worth. And that's just going to get him an appeal. And then the appeal is going to probably prevail, and it's going to be reversed, and he's going to basically, it's going to blow up in Erdogan, the judge's face, along with Letitia James, biggest loser on the planet. So the sudden jump in Trump's net worth is thanks to Trump's media merger with Digital World Acquisition Corporation, DWAC. Shares jumped 35% today after the 29-month-long merger process went through. Trump has 58% stake in the company that will soon be trading under the DJT's ticker symbol. The former president will, well, President Trump, not my former president, he's still my president, will not be able to cash in on any of the shares for about 6 months. His net worth will likely be volatile going forward. Okay. So let's cover this a little bit. So yesterday, you know, breaking, it says Benny Johnson was writing this. Trump issues statement on Truth Social after bond in New York City fraud trial decreased from $545 million, which was what it really was with interest, to $175 million, which is still, by all accounts, ridiculous. A million hours before it was due. Just hours before it was due. So Judge Engerrand has, oops, we're going to go ahead and take a call real quick. Caller, you're on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good.
You know what's amazing? How many listeners you think you got on your radio show?
We do about 100,000 a day.
Good. You know, I watch all these politicians and I see these presidents, like when they line them all up, like Barack Obama and Bush and Clinton and Jimmy Carter, and they have them all in one room. And I look at these guys and I say to myself, what a bunch of freeloaders. Kind of like looking at like the royal family, how people praise the royal family. And I look at these people and I say, what a bunch of freeloaders. And then I think of all the money that it takes Secret Service and the benefits that these people get year after year, day in and day out in this country from the taxpayer. But when, you know, you look at Donald Trump, you say to yourself, the complete opposite. Here's a man, his net worth went down as president, took his paycheck and donated it. I hope that man lives to the ripe age of 110, because that guy deserves all the benefits that a president should get after he does his service. I had to say that today because I am so disgusted with the way government runs and how they manage my tax dollars in this country. And I'm sure a lot of other people feel the same way. It's gross, and these people should be completely ashamed of themselves. The people in New York should be outraged that these people even attempted to do what they're doing to this man in court.
One final thing there. As conservatives, though, we really need to look at our Democrat brothers, friends, family, and really point the finger at them as well, because they're complicit in this whole scheme. They're, you know, it's not enough to just say, you know, I'm not into politics. I don't really know. I'm just going to play it stupid. And at some point, you know, they ought to know better. They're not that stupid. Democrat voters are not that stupid. What the heck is going on in their brains?
They don't want accountability. Because if there's accountability, they can't steal the money from the cookie jar. That's what all of this is about. Managing your tax dollars is a lucrative business. And all of the power that comes along with managing your tax bills, your dollars, as far as, you know, controlling bills and laws that are put into place.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for everything you do, my friend. Have a great day.
All right. Take care. All right. Thanks for calling in. All right. So, we're going to go ahead and probably, I'm going to do something here. All right, so we have this. Judge Donald Trump writes this. Judge Engerrand has refused to obey the decision of the appellate division relative to the statute of limitations. This is a confrontation between a judge and those who rule above him, a very bad situation in which to place New York State and the rule of law. Engoron has disrespected the appellate division, and it's very clear and it's precise ruling. He should be made to do so and at the same time release the gag order. This is the fifth time in this case that he has been overturned a record. This is a record. So we're going to go ahead and listen to Donald Trump talk about this. All right, let's take a listen to this. This is just one piece, but we have another piece too.
Mr. President, you mentioned the cash you had. You said on Friday it was something like $500 million. You intended to put some of that into the campaign. Now that the bond's been reduced, are you going to start putting money into your campaign?
Yeah.
You haven't done that since 2016.
Well, first of all, it's none of your business, I mean, frankly. But I might do that. I have the option. But if I have to spend $500 million on a bond, I wouldn't have that option. I'd have to start selling things. I don't have to sell anything because it's a phenomenal company. Look, I built a phenomenal company. Someday they'll actually report that. I built a phenomenal company that's very low leverage, unbelievably low leverage, with a lot of cash, a lot of everything else. Why should I let a crooked judge make a decision to give $450 million that allows me to spend very little money on my campaign if I so choose? I'll be spending money on my campaign. I might spend a lot of money on my campaign, but I should have that option. A crooked judge shouldn't say, we're going to have you post a bond and take all of that money that I could be spending on a campaign or other things if I want to do other things. So we were gratified by the professionalism of the opinion today. I thought it was a very important opinion for New York. But the only thing that's going to really solve that problem is when I win, because you're going to have to win. Because no company is going to be coming to New York if I don't win that case.
That's true. And Andrew McCarthy said $175 million is still outrageous. Let's take a listen.
Trump is being held accountable for his staggering fraud. What is the staggering fraud that she's referring to?
Well, that's her story, and she's sticking to it. And Judge Engoron helped her at trial come up with a novel algorithm for figuring out fraud in a case where there's no fraud. It was really remarkable, Maria. They started out asking for $250 million in disgorgement damages. They then have an 11-week trial. They prove no victims. They prove no fraud. And then she says, you know, I think my damages are $370 million. And by the time the interest got tacked on, that's how we ended up at 454. But it goes to show how arbitrary this is. And I think if I was Eric Trump and the Trump family, what I'd be pointing out is they can't get a bond or weren't able to get a bond from these bonding companies because those companies don't want real estate. They think the valuations on the real estate are too subjective and fluctuate too much. And that was exactly what Trump's point was during the trial, that, you know, whether or not you think he exaggerated his asset values, and there's some evidence of that, his point was there are sophisticated financial actors on both sides of these transactions. So what you ought to do is trust them to do their own valuations. That's the living they're in. That's the business they're in.
Right.
And what she did was she took a consumer protection statute that had never been applied in a situation where you have sophisticated financial actors on both ends of a transaction.
Yeah.
And she got the judge to apply it here.
Unbelievable. Yeah, never been applied, unprecedented, all of these words being used when it comes to Trump, right? It's just a different story. Kathy Hochul in New York says, oh, no, we won't do this to you. No, this is just about Trump. I mean, it's just extraordinary.
Well, yeah, there's no, you know, they want you to believe that, like, he's sui generis, like there's Trump law. But Trump is not the only thing that progressives hate. Right.
Yeah.
They don't like fossil fuel companies.
That's
they don't
a good
like
point.
Gun companies. They don't. Yeah. So the thought that they're going to have this precedent on the books and they're not going to use it against everyone is just silly.
That is a great point. No wonder people like Kevin O'Leary saying, I'm not going to do business in New York anymore. He's out of there. Let's talk about the Georgia case, because the lawyer who exposed Fannie Willis's improper relationship with Nathan Wade says there's no way the 2020 election interference case will proceed before November 5th. Willis claims that the case has not been delayed after months of court proceedings over her romantic relationship with the special prosecutor, Nathan Wade. Andrew, what are your opinions here in terms of where this goes and whether or not Trump is going to be on trial for this before the election?
I don't see it. They don't even have a trial date here, and his calendar is already pretty stuffed up with the proceedings in the two federal cases and also the trial that's going to start on April 15th. They don't even have a trial date, so I don't really see that one happening.
And with Jack Smith's case, April, where do you see that going? I know the Alvin Bragg case is April 15th, right?
Yeah. Yes. Alvin Bragg's April 15th. The Smith case, especially the January 6th case, the Washington case, a lot rides on what the Supreme Court does this spring in the immunity case and also in an obstruction case involving the Capitol riot defendants, because that charge is central to the prosecution against Trump.
Andy, it's great to get your take on all of this. We so appreciate your time this morning.
Yeah, that was Andrew McCarthy's pretty smart when it comes to this kind of legalese stuff. Also, I want to play. All right, so we have a couple of things going on here, a couple of options. I was going to play this P. Diddy clip. I'm done with that story. That's just a disgusting story. But Puff Daddy, wow. It's just the tip of the iceberg, I believe. And what we've always been suspecting. All right, so former New York Assistant Attorney General, Truth Social is essentially worthless, is what they're saying on MSNBC. Let's take a listen.
Interesting. All right, Ben, I know you have thoughts on the Truth Social stuff and the value.
I think that the value is essentially worthless. This is a company that doesn't make any money. And sure, they could change the bylaws and end the lockup period and go to market and sell a share, someone will buy a share, two shares. But if they went to market and tried to sell $3 billion, the value of the stock would go to zero practically immediately.
Let me ask an interesting. All right.
So actually what he said is true, but it's the truth no matter how you slice it. I mean, that would be the case with any stock.
Look, this process should have never taken this long. I think it was a part of targeting Donald Trump. We had to wait for the U.S. government to approve us. But, you know, look, it's done. And tomorrow we'll be trading finally. We'll be a fully capitalized company. And I'd like to say that we're going to finally graduate from being an R&D company where we're trying to build out this entire internet, build this whole ecosystem so that people cannot be canceled. Imagine that. And so it's taken us a long time to get to this point. We now kind of officially become, I kind of joke, we'll now be a real startup. Most companies would never make it this long through an R&D period, except that we've got great supporters like you, great supporters like Newsmax, and the millions of Americans out there who have signed up for Truth Social. We're very appreciative. And now we owe it to the shareholders of this company to go out and fulfill that mission, which is to make sure that the internet stays open so that for whatever content's out there, whether it's Newsmax or whether it's an individual wants to be on Truth Social, that we're providing that home for not only Americans, but for people all around the world.
And it couldn't come at a better time because there's a bunch of different laws going on, international laws that are impeding, infringing upon free speech. So, like, for example, this NATO censorship law. So this is where it says EU to start fining platforms up to 6% of global revenue if they fail to censor election disinformation under new censorship law. Wow. So then Mike Benz writes, this NATO censorship law is the single biggest number one threat to free speech in the United States of America. And I'll be covering this issue top to bottom like white on rice with an ongoing series on it. So Yeah. And then he also talks about the middleware plan to restructure the censorship industry. It's kind of an interesting thing. Mike Benz is a really good analyst. And he was also supported. Definitely a major concern is what Elon Musk said. So let's just take a listen to this open.
Good morning. I am here in sunny, beautiful San Diego in the famous Balboa Park. And I wanted to talk today about something called competitive middleware. Now, competitive middleware is a very Orwellian phrase. It doesn't mean whatever you think right now middleware means. You probably think it's like some sort of, you know, computer software, sort of like anti-spyware or like McAfee antivirus or something. Middleware refers to the middle of the road censorship liaisons that are growing right now in size and strength and that are going to be the future of the censorship industry. So let me break down what I mean and just lay out a few things that we're going to cover here in this little walk and talk. So we're going to cover the whole of society and how it's structured, the whole of society censorship industry. We're going to cover NewsGuard. We're going to cover the Missouri.
So there's like different protection software that's going to be bundled into your software to protect you. And you're going to be signing off on terms and conditions that you don't even know what you're signing. And Facebook could be considered middleware in some respects. They're going to change their algorithm and change their methodology to where they're no longer, you know, a Section 230 type of company. But they're basically going to position themselves to protect you. And by protecting you, they're going to censor you. And you're going to agree to it or give up on the platform altogether. So this is a sinister plot that's happening. So good morning, X-Land. Big brother after people who simply viewed content. So this is scary. This is another part of it. Let's take a listen to this.
Ordered Google to hand over the names, addresses, telephone numbers, and user activity of those who watch certain YouTube videos. The feds were trying to track down a criminal and were apparently tracking you in the process. The senior national correspondent Kevin Cork is live in D.C. with the big news about Big Brother. Kevin, good evening.
Evening, Trace. According to Forbes, the government asking Google to give up names, addresses, phone numbers, and user activity of all account users who access certain YouTube videos back in January of 2023, as you mentioned, as part of a larger criminal investigation. Now, in another instance, police also asked Google to provide a list of accounts that viewed and or interacted with YouTube live streams that could lead to information again on what they claim was a police search. Privacy experts tell Fox Business Tonight, this discovery is absolutely terrifying, saying it allows the police to target people for simply consuming content. Quote, it's unconstitutional, it's terrifying, and it's happening every day. These YouTube warrants are just as chilling, allowing police to target people simply for the content they consume. No one should fear a knock at the door from police simply because of what YouTube's algorithm serves up.
Now- right. I mean, that's huge, right? So again, Truth Social comes at a very interesting point. So here's a story. I think this is on CNN. Broke Dawn, as the Biden administration was trying to call it. Broke Dawn is billionaire Teflon Don.
CNN's Matt Egan is here with the details. This is fascinating.
John, it is fascinating. Donald Trump looks like he's on the verge of a massive financial win. His social media baby, CNN. Truth Social, is finally about to go public after years of legal delays. Shareholders are likely to greenlight a merger between Trump Media and a blank check company called Digital World Acquisition. Now, if you look at a live look at that stock price, pre-market, it is up 3%. The higher this stock goes, the richer Donald Trump is, at least on paper, because this deal calls for Donald Trump to own about 79 million shares of the new company. So at these prices, we're talking about a stake that is worth more than 3 billion dollars. That's huge. That is almost 10 times the bond that he's supposed to post by Monday in New York.
Seen as Matt Egan.
Right. So here's Justice Jeanine talking about broke Don. He's not broke anymore.
The $175 million bond, which certainly is appropriate because there was absolutely no connection between the $475 million and I think it's a half a billion at this point with the interest that Engoron just pulled out of the sky and said, I'm going to hit Donald Trump for that. And, you know, they're just disappointed because they wanted to call him broke Don. And he's not broke Don anymore. He's going to make that $175 million bond. Now, it is conditioned, of course, upon his perfecting his appeal by September. That means he's got to have all his appellate work in the appellate division, first department, which rendered this decision reducing the bond. But I want to just, Dana, because I looked this up, when Sam Bankman-Fried, who apparently conned something like $1 million or a million victims, his bond was $250 million. Bernie Madoff had 40,000 victims. His bond was $10 million. Donald Trump, no victims, half a billion dollars. I mean, I don't know where those people from the other stations are learning the law or what they're talking about. But look, there's no harm, no foul. That's the end of it. No one relied to their detriment on anything. No one lost a dime. Donald Trump is a whale client. Everybody who comes in with him makes money with him. That's number one. Number two, on the business records case, it's going to start on April 15th. They've got the a convicted felon who was a liar, who was the main witness in that case, on a case that is literally without basis because they took a federal felony charge, mm-hmm. and they tried to breathe life into a statute of limitation passed misdemeanor in New York that the DA, Cy Vance, didn't want to go on, and that Alvin Bragg didn't want to prosecute, that the Southern District wouldn't prosecute, and that the FEC didn't prosecute. So the Democrats came in and they breathed hate into this falsifying a business record by bootstrapping a felony from the feds, pulling away the statute of limitations and the misdemeanor, pulling out Michael Cohen to be their central witness, and it's absurd. And the last thing I want to say is this. You had the Supreme Court came out and they said the Secretary of State in Maine, as well as the Supreme Court Justice, I think it was in Colorado, were wrong. You can't take him off the ballot. They said to Fannie Willis, get rid of your lover. You can't have him on. And six of your counts go because you don't even know how to draft an indictment. And to Engoron, they're saying your bond is nowhere consistent with the facts. And we're going to take it down, what, 40-60%. So they're in bad shape already, and I think it's going to continue that way. This is all coming out of the Democrats who hate Donald Trump.
Bingo. Wow. That's a full-throated response. And, you know, they're underwater with regard to the border. So they're rolling out Kamala Harris to be the border czar again. She's talking to Ecuador and a whole bunch of other people. She's trying to get a better understanding as to what the magnet is. And inflation is really at 19%. That's another one. Hey, the controlled demolition of the West is not happening by accident. The Cloward and Piven strategy is a political strategy outlined in 1966 by American socialists, sociologists, and political activists Richard Cloward and Francis Fox Piven. It is the strategy of forcing political change to societal collapse through orchestrated crises. The Cloward-Piven strategy seeks to hasten the fall of capitalism by overloading the government bureaucracy with a flood of impossible demands, amassing massive, unpayable national debt, and other methods such as unfettered immigration, thus pushing society into crisis and economic collapse. That's what they're doing. Wall Street Silver writes, if we use the prior methods of calculating inflation from the 90s, then inflation was actually 18% last year. And even with 18% inflation, debt to GDP went up, even as the monetized the debt. Governments are just lying to us about what the real situation is with inflation. And more people are defaulting. They're digging into their 401ks. They're carrying more debt on their credit cards. More and more people. It's having an impact on the housing market and a whole host of other things. So there's that. All right. So Slow Joe Biden campaign tests broke down name calling strategy as Trump net worth jumps by $3.5 billion. They get it wrong all the time, folks. So Biden campaign rolls out broke down nickname for Trump. Strategists say that's a bad idea. The Biden campaign is taking a page from the former President Donald Trump's playbook, rolling out a nickname for the president's political rival as the 2024 race heats up. Okay, and an email to supporters, they're trying to beat Trump at Trump being Trump. And it already blew up in their face because on the day that they launched Broke Don, thinking that he wasn't going to come up with the $454 million, he wins an appeal, gets it dropped to $175, agrees to pay cash, doesn't even need to lien a property, and then goes public the very next day and is facing a windfall of about $3.5 billion. You can't make it up, right? Wow. Incredible. So, here, for immediate release, March 21st, 2024, Biden-Harris. Not a winning campaign. Broke Don hides in basement. Trump can't raise money, it isn't campaigning, and is letting convicts and conspiracy theorists run his campaign. Well, that just blew up in his face. It's crazy. Even Jesse Waters weighed in like this.
And Joe Biden nicknamed Trump Broke Don. Better find a new nickname.
You better quick. All right, so reporter, what's your collateral on the bond, Trump cash? Let's take a listen.
What's your collateral on the bond? Cash.
Cash. It's nothing better than cash. So who honestly believes Trump has $175 million in cash? I don't, says Blondina Winter. You know, basically, she's a DeSantis 2024 voter. Go figure, right? Even still, I guess. I don't know. Not aging well. Not aging well at all. Speaking of campaigns, though, it's interesting. RFK Jr. is going to be selecting a VP candidate today. You know who's on the list? Andrew Yang was going to be my choice. I think that he's going to pick Andrew Yang. But there's Nicole Shanahan. She's a California lawyer. There's Aaron Rodgers, New York Jets quarterback. I don't think he'll get it. There's Jesse Ventura. I don't think he'll get it. Then there's Tulsi Gabbard, who I thought was also on the short list for Donald Trump. And then there's Andrew Yang. I think it's going to be Andrew Yang, Tulsi Gabbard, and then a dark horse would be Nicole Shanahan. But if he gets on there, it will be very, very difficult for the cheaters to cheat enough to make up that 10% that RFK Jr. is going to pull from the Biden camp. So, you know, that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. So, in response to this, who honestly believes Trump has the cash? I don't. Someone just says he just bought a merger deal, brought a merger deal, the Truth Social and AWAC public in a IPO worth over $4 billion. Yeah. Now here's TechCrunch talking about Truth Social.
Last week was the busiest week for technology IPOs we've seen in a long time, but there was one debut you might have missed, so let's talk about it. Now, Reddit's IPO was a success. The company priced at the top end of its proposed range and then stormed out of the gate once it began to trade. Then there was Astera Labs' own tech IPO, which was even more impressive, pricing above its range and then also shooting higher once it began to trade. Then there was the other third public debut, a blank check combination between a SPAC and the Trump Media and Technology Group. Yes, the company behind Truth Social is finally public. So what is Trump Media? Well, it's a social media company, sure, but it's also, in its own words, built to, quote, create a media powerhouse to rival the liberal media consortium and fight back against the big tech companies of Silicon Valley. Anyways, Trump Media as a company doesn't look like a super great business, at least according to SEC filings. For example, Axios reported last year that in the first 9 months of 2023, the company generated revenues of $3.38 million and
that's
led
because
to
they were research and development.
$9 million. Now, sure, tech companies that go public often lose money, but that's because they're growing very quickly. In this case, the revenue and loss just seem to be a little bit off kilter. And given what the company is worth today on the public markets, it also has a pretty aggressive revenue multiple, though, of course, we'll need to wait for full Q4 numbers to come out to be entirely sure. Now, CNBC does report that 11% of the shares in the newly public Trump Media are being sold short, indicating that not everyone expects the company to perform well as a public entity. That said, it has done better thus far than many other SPAC combinations, so I guess 1 point for that. Now, weird SPAC combos aside, last week's more material tech IPOs were really big deals. And they did so well, they could help unlock even more IPOs from tech startups in coming quarters. One way to think about this is that after last year's Instacart, Arm, and Klaviyo deals, the narrative was they didn't do well enough to actually engender more offerings. Well, we have a pretty different situation this time, right? Put another way, if we're seeing the Trump Media SPAC deal get done and both Reddit and Astera's IPOs go boom in the same week, surely the IPO waters are warm enough for the average unicorn, right? Right? Last week was the busiest.
That's pretty good analysis, though. Just to give you a better understanding of what's going to happen today with True Social. All right. I got this Trump clip I want to play from yesterday. So let's take a listen to this. It's really quite good.
This is all about election interference. This is all Biden-run things, meaning Biden and his thugs, because I don't know if he knows he's alive. And it's a shame. It's a shame what's happening to our country. This is election interference. They are doing things that have never been done in this country before. We've never had anything like it, certainly not at this level, but we've really had nothing like it that I've been able to find. It does happen a lot in third world countries, banana republics. If you look at what we just left, you have a case which they're dying to get this thing started. The judge cannot go faster. He wants to get it started so badly. And there's tremendous corruption. You have Pomerantz, Mark Pomerantz. He was Hillary Clinton's lawyer, Democrat National Committee's lawyer. He worked in Paul Weiss. He walked in and he took over the district attorney's office. Nobody's ever seen anything like that, to prosecute Trump. And then they wouldn't do what he wanted to do, and he goes out and he writes a book long before any decisions were made. He writes a book about it. And the book gets published, and everybody's reading his book. And the judge said, there's nothing wrong with that. And if you look at Bragg, Bragg had a fit over that. Bragg said, this trial is now dead. We can't do the trial. Well, that was one of the problems, and the judge should have allowed that to happen. And you had other instances, like Colangelo. Colangelo is a radical left from the DOJ who was put into the state working with Letitia James, and then was put into the district attorney's office to run the trial against Trump. And that was done by Biden and his thugs also, because they can't win an election because of the borders, because of energy prices, because of inflation, because of Afghanistan, the worst and most embarrassing day in the history of our country. He can't win because of Russia, because of all the problems, because of Ukraine being attacked by Russia. And he can't win because of the October 7th attack of Israel, which he should have never allowed to happen, would have never happened if I were president. Ukraine would have never been attacked if I was president. And you wouldn't have inflation if I was president. We didn't have inflation. So all of these things, so what they do is they do election interference, which is court cases, and let's try and tie him up, and let's take as much of his money as possible. I respect the appellate division for substantially reducing that ridiculous amount of money that was put on by a corrupt judge named Ngoren. He ought to be seriously looked at, especially what he did with valuations. He's the one. He's a fraudulent valuator. where he values Mar-a-Lago at $18 million, and people say it's worth 50 to 100 times that much, the biggest experts in the business. So he ought to be looked at, and James ought to be looked at, because she tried to get him. She's like the puppet master of the judge. And, you know, our state, this state, is losing tremendous prestige. It's losing its companies. It's losing its people. They're fleeing, and violent crime is flourishing. And we can't have that. We can't have that. No city should have that. And it's happening in other cities, but not with the lawfare. The lawfare that they're doing is incredible. So they could have done this in the case of the trial that we just left, one of the many that are going. Every single one of them is run by Biden and his thugs. It's the only way they think they can get elected. And I think so far it's backfiring, because the people of this country understand it. It's backfiring. But they're being run, and they're running all of these different cases. So ridiculous, the cases. Every one of them is ridiculous. You take a look at any one of them, and you say any one of them, it wouldn't make any difference. This is all weaponization of DOJ and FBI. They raided my house in violation of a thing called the Fourth Amendment. Not allowed to do that. They raided my house in Florida, Mar-a-Lago. No notice, no nothing. They raided it. I can't believe it. Nobody can believe it. And we'll see how that all works out in the end. But it's illegal what they're doing. It's criminal what they're doing. And it's never been done before in this country. You can't have an election in the middle of a political season. We just had Super Tuesday, and we had a Tuesday after a Tuesday already. And we had Louisiana the other day, a couple of days ago, and we won in a record number, the highest number ever recorded. But we're in the middle of an election right now, and we're fighting crooked Joe Biden, who's the worst president in the history of our country, by far. Who's let this country go to hell. The borders, millions and millions of people coming in from prisons, from mental institutions. They're terrorists. Many people coming in from prisons and mental institutions. Think of it. And terrorists are coming into our country. And this guy's just letting them come in by the millions. I think we have 15 million people already. People don't say that. I say it. And I'll bet I'm right, too. So we're going through this weaponization of our government to try and knock out somebody's political opponent. And so far, based on the polls, it's not working at all. The people understand it. We have a man who just ruled they'd like the trial to start in 21 days or something. And I don't know how you can have a trial that's going on right in the middle of an election. Not fair. Not fair. It's not fair at all. He knows that, too. He's a Democrat judge. He wants to do that because they're all trying to damage Trump as much as possible. It's having the reverse effect, but maybe someday it won't. I don't know. But it's having the reverse effect. It's a terrible, terrible precedent, a terrible thing to do. They could have started this when I left office. You could have gone back 3 years, more than that. When I left office, all of these things could have been started, so we wouldn't be quibbling over starting this week or that week or 2 days or 3 days. It wouldn't have mattered. This thing would have been over 2 years ago. They could have started. They should have never started, because there's no case. If you read Andy McCarthy's piece, if you read Jonathan Turley's piece, if you read legal scholars all over the world, they say this DA case is a hoax, and it's something that shouldn't have. It's not even a crime. They say there's no crime, and there is no crime. So I just say it's a sad day for this country when you have something like this. And remember the words, should have been started 3 years ago if they were going to start it at all. And then you wouldn't be quibbling over what week it's going to end. Days. They're quibbling over days and hours. They wouldn't be quibbling at all. They never started it. And you know why they didn't start it? Because they didn't know I'd be running. And they didn't know how well I'd do. And if I were not running, or if I were doing poorly like everyone else has done, because they're all gone, they're all knocked out except for crooked Joe Biden. If I were doing poorly, this wouldn't be happening. None of these trials would have been happening. If I wasn't running, they wouldn't be happening. So it's a sad day in our country in many respects. But the good day is that the appellate division was fair. It's a lot of money still, but the judge is corrupt, in my opinion. He's the most overturned judge. He's been overturned 5 times in this case alone. He ruled against me before he even knew anything about the case. He ruled against me. The whole case was all about damages, and there were no damages. And perhaps you'll get him to tell you about what took place in terms of a settlement negotiation, because those weren't the numbers he was discussing. Those weren't the numbers. It's a disgrace what's happening in our country. And we have to get our country back, and we're going to get our country back. That's what's going to happen. November 5th, I believe, will be the most important day in the history of our country.
Absolutely. He's right about everything that he just said. And you know what? Biden couldn't give that speech just there. So he couldn't handle what Trump is going through. But Trump is handling this just like he handles everything else. So good luck with Trump today. Our hearts go out to the people who lost their lives in the bridge collapse in Baltimore. We'll be praying for them. And with that, thank you all for listening to The Scott Adams Show. Be sure to check out MAGAPAC.org. Make a donation to keep The Scott Adams Show commercial free. We'll see you next time on the radio. Goodbye, everybody. There.